Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting here with Captain Scott Shank.
Hello.
Hello. Is it bedtime yet?
Close, dude. Oh my God, my eyes are about ready to
No,
split.
We're good. We're good. We got an hour in us.
I got them propped open.
We got an hour in us and awesome week.
Yes.
Awesome week.
We called it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. I know we'll get more and more into it, but thank goodness that little Isis, or whatever stayed
right.
East far enough.
Mm-hmm.
We did catch a swell.
Yep.
The water is dirty.
Yep.
Inshore and offshore,
yep.
Not way offshore, but inshore and offshore, we'll call it the beach, and inshore, the water's dirty.
Uh-huh.
We didn't see that much rain. That's a great thing.
Right.
Because you know what's coming around the corner. Nobody's talking yet. I can just see how they ought to be. We're going to be starting, we need to go throw the net here shortly and go catch some shrimpies. It's August.
Interesting you even said that, and you and I didn't even talk about this, but... I was going to send Logman a text today and say, hey, because we've had no word.
No.
On even, I'm not talking about going and catching, eating shrimp right now.
Because we know that always happens around my birthday, which is the end of September.
Right.
End of October. Again, depending on weather, depending on hurricane situation, blah,
yep.
blah, 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 blah. And I get it. There was a lot of docks damaged over the years. But look, Kevin and I don't have time to hook up boats and run all the way out to the river. So I'm just asking nicely. If you got a dock out there later on in the year, me and Kev would like to really come out there two or three times.
Are you begging?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Two or three times.
Uh-huh.
You know, just to get enough for, you know.
What is it, a 5-gallon bucket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not asking for much.
No.
Just a 5-gallon bucket. Let me hit the dock two or three times.
And you know what? Here's the deal about that.
Okay.
Yes, it's great going to catch a trip to eat, but it's fun.
No, it's
fun,
dude.
You know,
once you catch it nighttime,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, it's just it's and there's I'm sorry, you're usually not in that deep of water,
right?
But man, it's nothing funner. I mean, I probably haven't done it in 10 or 12 years,
mm-hmm.
And dude, I can always remember after you got out there around 6:30-ish, you got your clay chum thing patties made up, and boy, when you threw that first time and that 8-foot net hit the water and sank down about 4 feet and just watched the whole thing rise up like a school of pogies in the net.
Yeah,
you know, that was just like,
that's cool.
Uh-oh. And you hear, you know, as they're running up the horn. Oh, it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
I enjoy doing it.
We're going to have to take the grandkids, though, instead of the kids, because the kids used to be the sorters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's time to, next generation needs to start learning, figuring it all out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
I would love to go, though. Seriously. I'm not begging. Well, I am begging and asking. If somebody's got a dock that would like to put up with me and Kevin for just a couple hours, I mean, I'd rather not have to cart a bunch of stuff out there. Hopefully your dock's already lit, but I'll bring the beer. I'll bring the adult beverages. I will bring the fish meal.
Uh-huh.
And we'll bring laughter and fun if you let us borrow your dock.
Yeah. No, I'm down with that. We talked about this last week. Obviously, we've been through a lot of these storms over the last 10 years, and according to the total effect, you know, how close it was, how much damage we had, this, that, and the other. It can be a really...
It had been a season ender. It could have been a season ender.
No, 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 no. It was too early in August.
You think?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, no. No, 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 no. A season ender is middle of September. That's a season ender.
Okay.
You know, beginning of August 3rd. No, yeah, heck. I mean, even if it hit us directly at 70 miles an hour, you know, and moving at 20 miles an hour, yeah, it would have affected the fishing to a certain extent for a few days. But no, hell no. It wouldn't have been a season ender. But I do love this time of year for me because charters for most people back off.
Yep.
You know, there will be, instead of, and let's just say 20 to 25 charter captains fishing, there will be five a day. Most folks are, you know, kingfish season's basically, there's a juniors tournament this weekend.
Yep. Yep, and I think they're still King of the Beach after this,
King of the Beach after this, so I get it. It's kind of extended this year. But for the most part, there's not going to be 50 people out there kingfishing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so you pull up to the ramp each morning, and there's 10, 12 boats there, you know. Half of those are charter captains, and the other half are either going inshore fishing, or maybe a couple people going tarpon fishing.
It's hard to believe hunting season in South Carolina starts next week.
It's always the weird to think about that. Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, hard to believe hunting season right around the corner.
Yeah,
but anyhow,
it is.
Hold on.
Well, but that's the other thing. A lot of people are prepping.
Yep.
For that,
you did.
I did. I left for four days.
Gone. Yeah. You're gone.
Yep.
You know, and I get it. I 100%.
But just like you. In October, November, you always tell me those are your two favorite months because everybody's hunting. You know, there's really no offshore fishing.
Nope.
You know, I mean,
inshore bites really good.
And the inshore bites really good. You know, so you know, you kind of have the place to yourself. You know, I've tarpon fished every day this week.
Yes.
Yeah, every day this week. And I've had a good week. I've had to really work at it. I mean, it's by no means go pack up your tarpon stuff right now. And
the mullet run hasn't started.
It's there's a lot of running around. You're trying to find, you know, the correct school of pogies to fish.
An active feeding.
And when you do, you really need to know what you're looking at because it's not completely obvious right now. Does that make sense?
Yes,
100%. You know, a lot of times
you don't see them doing aerials. No.
You're barely
going to see him make a roll. You really got to actually watch the water because all of a sudden he's just going to roll underwater. You're just going to see a flash.
Right. Yeah, and
you know, maybe the pogies will kind of, you know, roll real
and
quick.
And sometimes you have to, before you fish a pod, you have to watch it. I mean, you and you know, I'm talking about rods in the rod holder, stand there, you know, for 15, 20, 30 minutes, and you're like, guys, there's nothing here. We got to go, and you got to go find another pod. Yeah. And so, you know, like today, 7:30 to 12:30, I don't think I threw the first line in until 9:30 or 10 o'clock because we were trying to find – you know,
you got to have the special people to do that.
You do. Oh, you absolutely do.
I mean, I can't, you know, I mean, with four people on a boat, I mean, that's why we always talk. I mean, I can't catch them, but I don't do it enough like you do because your charter base this time of year
is tarpon.
It's August, September. They know it's tarpon. You'll know darn good and well if they come down that dock with four, you're going to tell two of them to go home.
Right, yeah.
You know,
well, it's not so much, but I'll... If somebody charters me, and I do have people tarpon charter me for four people, and you know, I'm like, look, if we catch one, we've had a good day.
So who has never caught one that wants to be up first because he gets the first shot?
Yes, and for the most part, also Scott is even if you have four people, only two people because you cast. You know, I put two people on the bow. The other two guys. Have a beer or have a seat, you know, watch, you know, help us watch, see what's going on, and then you guys can switch up, you know, do whatever you want to do. But you can't have four people throwing big spinning rods.
And they can't be slamming hatches and everything else.
Right, exactly.
They can't be walking around.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, it's plain and simple.
Right, but like I said, I've caught tarpon every day, but you know, I mean, today I was talking to Captain Dennis Goldstein, and he said, "Did you catch fish?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I caught two." And he said, "On the bait pods?" I said, "Yeah, on the bait pods." And he's like, "Man, that's awesome." And he goes, "What about sharks?" And I go, "Dennis, I had two bites." Yeah. I mean, literally today.
5 hours.
5 hours.
Two bites.
Had two guys, and they were flipping awesome. They were great. But each one of them caught a fish, and they each got one bite. Mm-hmm. And that's rare.
Yeah.
That's
a hell of a day. I mean, that's what we call a hell of a day.
Yeah.
I know people are hearing us and going, really? Then you don't want to go tarpon fishing.
Right.
Because you don't understand.
Yeah, it's not. It's just.
It's not for everyone.
Right.
You know, it's to catch a gorgeous animal, a creature,
yep.
a fish.
Oh, they're so awesome.
And honestly, I mean, I think you'll admit to me mm-hmm. the same. It's not all about the capture as it is the initial. If I only fight him for 10 or 15 minutes, please throw the hook. I mean, I want 3 or 4 or 5 jumps.
Yeah.
I get to scream, get to yell, and I hope that thing's coming back at me. Let's just go get another one.
The beauty of these two fish today is both of them are around 60 pounds.
See? I mean, that is
love
fine.
Them.
I am not
love
pulling
them.
On 150 pounds.
It's a 15-minute,
yeah.
17-minute yeah. bite, yeah. you know,
uh-uh.
and they put on a show,
uh-uh.
you know, and it's but that 150-pounder, you're
yeah.
like, oh.
Yeah, it's yeah. like, you know, like, I mean, yeah, people think catching a 30-pound Jack Crevalle and I got the drags locked down and you're fighting it for 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Multiply that by 3 times and then tell me how bad you want to catch one. I just like to see them is
yeah.
all I like to do. I like the hookup.
That's the one thing about fishing the bait pods. For the most part, most of the fish are 100 pounds under.
Yep.
You know, they are. And when you fish behind shrimp boats, that's where the mamas live.
That's the cruiser category.
That's where the 6-7-footers,
yep.
you know, 150, 170-pounders yep. live. And you're like, you know.
Really?
Yeah. But, hey, if you want it, careful of what you ask for, you know.
Because it's nice sitting behind the wheel underneath the T-top.
I know we can take a quick break, but both of us, you know, we use 80-pound fluorocarbon.
Yep.
And if they get that hook down to the point to where they're rubbing on that fluorocarbon,
uh-huh.
30, 40 minutes,
it's over with.
Yeah, they're gonna rub through it. 641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast right here on 1010XL. Captain Scott, and I'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Let's go to the phone lines. I think Captain Leon Dana, because I know he has a lot to talk about, simply for the fact that the ocean was pretty enough this week that he could get his little skiff
yeah.
down there and fish a couple days and pay the jetty fee.
Yeah.
Leon?
I paid my token.
To who?
I paid my fee, Kevin.
I missed that one.
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
I got to do something real quick because I got hell last week from Leon after
the
show.
Oh, you better come clean.
I'm coming clean.
Okay.
Shut up. I forgot to mention to the Radioland listeners that thanks to Captain Leon for bringing me down bait because there was no bait in St. Augustine, and he helped me fulfill my day. You happy now? Is that better?
Wow, really? You had to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. He got all pissed.
So what about all the tarpon reports and bait reports that we give him?
I guess that's just...
Yeah,
you know,
that's not to be dank. We're supposed to do that. Oh, okay.
That's paying the fee.
Oh, okay, I got
it. But I guess I didn't get that checkbook invoice this week. But go ahead.
Hey.
What?
Sharon's Karen, okay?
Well, I appreciate you bringing me those shrimp, but half of them were dead by the time I put them in my live well, but that's okay.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter.
Was that a backhanded compliment or what?
Oh, yeah.
The pinfish ate really well on those dead ones. Okay.
Oh, man.
Is there still a bunch of pinfish around?
No.
Really? They backed off?
Mangoes
the mangoes were worse?
Mangoes were worse.
I was about to say, the mangrove snappers are pretty good ones right now.
Leon, I got to tell you real quick, though. I had a hell of a day today.
Yes, you did.
I caught some decent flounders. I caught some big mangoes. I caught a cobia about 21 inches at the jetties.
Mm-hmm.
And then I caught five snook today.
Five snook.
Five snook.
That's unreal.
That's a nice snook.
Dude, they were tailing. I mean, it was just awesome.
I haven't caught five snook in the last 2 years, Leon.
It was incredible. It was cool. They were like 18 to 25 inches. They're just fun. But, boy, you throw that shrimp up there and bounce it off a rock and it falls down right there, that line just went tight and he was right in the air. It was like,
that's
how much
awesome.
Better than that?
Yeah.
You know? You could call your shot. Kobe, I didn't expect that at all.
There's
like, no, who does?
And let me explain something to the both of you guys. Dang it, I should have got a wet measurement. I'm going to mount me one of those next time we catch one.
They're pretty, aren't they?
Good God, that fish was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just jet black and the most whitest line going down them. But let me tell you about them little deadly little chokers. Them little spines
when they're
babies.
Oh, the little spines on the back. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're like a bunch of needles. Because I tried to go, okay, well, let me see how we're going to work this into play. Because he's going nuts. I'm trying to get the jig head. Of course, he's hooks him right on his tongue.
It's
so
bleeding
it's like,
everywhere.
Oh, God. You know what I mean? I can't get out of his tongue. So I'm holding on to him. And I went, well, let me flip him over like I do with a snook. And the snook just lays there. You know? So I went, oh, let me flip him over. That even pissed him off even more. He didn't like getting flipped over at all. He's going nuts. My chest has got red spots. It looks like I've been filled up with chiggers out in the woods.
Yeah,
I was stuck like 30 times.
Leon, I don't know if you remember, but this is 2 years in a row now that we've had baby cobia everywhere.
Is that right?
Yeah, this is.
I've caught them every year. I mean, the last couple of years.
Well, so I'm saying 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But on 9 Mile, they're a nuisance.
Yes.
I mean, literally, Leon, you look back in your at your baits, and there's 20 of them back there trying to eat a pogie.
Charter captain caught nine
like a little
today.
Puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
and they're all 20, 25 inches, you know. But I think that is so. That's 2 years in a row now.
I had one swim in my drift sock this year.
Oh, no kidding.
And hang out.
Yeah.
And I was like, was that a cobia? And all of a sudden you see him peek his head out like this and he goes back inside my drift sock. I'm going, that's cool. So I'm trying to photograph him, but my phone is like ancient old and it's just didn't.
Yeah, you and photographs don't.
Yeah, that, me and photographs don't mix.
No. So Leon, you've kind of done everything this week. I mean, you've stayed inshore, you fished the beach, you've had a good week.
I've had a great week, you know, and it's all because of the weather being accommodating enough. And, you know, if you know, we finally got some southwest wind, you know, that allowed us to, even in a 18-foot Maverick, to run the beach and get out there and look around. I mean, we, like you said, we do have bait, and it is, while it's there, it is sparse, and it takes a while to find the right pod that is bunched up together enough. And you said it very well. I mean, 10, 15 minutes is no big deal to sit back 100 yards away from a pod and just watch it.
Yeah.
And you want to see what it's doing. I mean, is it sitting still? Is it swimming north? Is it swimming south? Is it going inside the breakers, outside the breakers? What's going on in the middle? Is there a hole in the middle of the pod? I mean, there's a lot of things to sit back and watch before you even think about picking up the rods.
Yeah.
It's key. It really is.
It's truly hunting.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
tree stand hunting. You got to have patience. If you have a group of charters that are not, it's not the thing for you. And that's what I tell everybody that calls. Look, I don't know. Hopefully we'll get a bite. I mean, first off, hopefully we'll get a bite. Secondly, hopefully get five bites.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, it might come down to, you know, last half an hour of the day and we get our shot.
Right.
You know, you just, you know, don't be anxious. We just got to
go ahead,
every
Leon.
Every charter is different when you're out there tarpon fishing.
I was getting ready to say the same thing.
One day and it can be blowing up and just psychotic, the fish. And then the next day, they're a ghost in the darkness. You pull up to a pod. You see them, a couple strikes, you're like, okay, let's get ready. These guys are actively feeding. And then, poof, for 30 minutes, they're gone.
Yep.
You're like, what just happened?
Yep. You know, I know that just what you said, If people specifically book me to tarpon fish, they know the expectations, because I'll if they haven't tarpon fished with me before, then look, I'd love to take you tarpon fishing. You guys know me. I mean, I love to do it, but damn, I'm patient.
Yeah,
I mean, and I don't want the pressure on me.
Well, Cap, what do you think? Ask me any of these questions.
Right. Don't start breathing heavy and sighing.
Saying we want to change up and whatever.
Yeah, if you want to go tarpon fishing, and listen, Leon, you may spend that $550 and not catch a fish,
Yeah.
Like I said, you catch one, it's a good day. You catch two, that's a damn good day.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna do everything that I can to put you on those fish,
Yep.
But Leon, it's like, If you called me, last week and said, "Hey, did you tarpon fish today?" No, I wanted to, but I had an 11-year-old on the boat.
Right.
And it's, it's not fair.
No.
What I'm saying? I mean, it's not a kid's thing. Mm-hmm. It's a teenager thing if they want to go out there and do it.
Yeah. I would really say I'm comfortable going tarpon fishing with a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
11-year-old, they could barely hold a kingfish rod by themselves.
Right. Well, not only that, but Leon, the tackle that we're using, it ain't light.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, they can't hold it.
No. Yeah, no. I mean, so
I'm telling you to reel real fast, because here, whatever the kingfish makes their adjustments.
Right.
And I mean, that's I get it.
Deal.
You're 11 years, but it's hard. I mean,
Tarpon fishing,
it's a whole different game, tarpon fishing.
I God bless him, but I mean, yesterday, second cast, I told you, Leon, we hooked up, and I was watching the guy. He could throw. He was very good at throwing one of those big spinning reels. The fish runs out there and jumps up in the air, and he grabbed the spool.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Popped him off.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what was
that?
What
did you do that for?
Yeah, I have never had any. I mean, I'm talking
clamped down
over the top of
really.
It. Popped him off, and
grouper clamp.
Yeah,
interesting.
And he's like, "Well, I just kind of panicked." And I was like, "Okay."
And you thought that grabbing the spool would stop a 100-pound fish?
Yeah. I like I said, and here's the funny thing. Second cast of the day, literally. All right, I didn't catch another one until the last cast of the day.
Really?
That's honest to goodness truth. For 5 hours between that bite.
Wow.
And the second bite was
really?
Ended up catching that fish, but it was we caught a few sharks. Dude, I don't know about you, I caught some world record, and I mean world record gaff tops.
Sharks.
Really?
I have never seen that in my life, Leon.
I mean, like dorsal fin,
dude,
12 inches
I'm
tall?
Telling you, and I'm not exaggerating, 5 to 6 inches between his eyes.
Really?
Pull and drag
like
on tarpon rods.
That sounds like a blue cat.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, gosh. Show, Kevin. Tell me where you were. I don't want to go there. Okay?
And so they're up on top of the water feeding?
Listen, I caught two on a flat line trolling.
What?
Yes.
Gaff top?
Yes, gaff tops.
Oh,
look back there, and you see a big old fin.
No way.
I'm honest, dude. I wouldn't lie to you.
I know. I'm not saying
yes,
you
sir. They were.
But Paul Gallup did the same thing
there
during the tournament.
He sure did it. Now
caught two of them on a downrigger.
Well, this was not on a downrigger. This was on flat lines.
Wow.
And when you guys know how a catfish eats. You kind of goes thump, and you're like, oh, there he is, and you tighten down.
That's right.
Yeah. You get that flounder bite, and you go that doink. Yeah. You go, all right, I saw it. Just let him eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, it starts doing circles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
the flounder.
Yeah. So anyway, and I know that there's a kingfish tournament this weekend.
Yep.
And we saw a few of those swimming around.
We saw a few indeed.
Yep.
Shallow.
Saw a few of those, I was talking to you, Leon, about it after we broke that tarpon off, we're using 80-pound fluorocarbon.
Yep.
And guy throws out, and I watched the rod tip go poink, and I'm thinking, oh, oh, you know. Well, he reels it up, and there's the hook's gone. I'm going, what the hell, you know? Yeah, so, I mean, literally 5 minutes later, you know, I'm watching my guys, watching the lines like we always do, and I can see that pokey getting crazy. Boink! And, you know, with the shark, the worst you're going to do is have him on for a minute.
You're probably like, okay, yeah, and you bring him off. Yeah.
This was just like straight cutting it. And I'm going, what's going on here?
What in the wild world sport?
Yeah, and it was kingfish. It's kingfish, lost five.
Kevin, I can't tell you how many baits I had out there come rocketing to the surface, and then all of a sudden, smack, and then all of a sudden, there's half a bait on the surface. I'm like, what just happened there? And then all of a sudden, out of the air flies another kingfish, and I'm like, well, okay then.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should have something on the flat line behind the boat.
Well, you know? And I did that halfway through my charter. I'm like, all right, I've seen enough, you know. So I broke out the kingfish rod, put it out there 30 feet, you know, and I'm on the trolling motor, easing along, and then lo and behold, that's the one the tarpon eats.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He eats the kingfish?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh man, I've been throwing these 65-pound braids all day. He's going to eat that one? Yeah. So we caught him. We caught a solid 100-pounder.
Really on kingfish?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how much pressure you can put on that 20-pound.
That's what I tell everybody on the boat. I said, I'm telling you right now, even though we use four extra strong hooks and all that, I'm telling you, you're going to bend those hooks before I can break. You're going to break off that fish because I use 17.
Yeah.
And I use 17 and 25.
It's amazing, Leon.
Those big sharks, Leon, that we're hooking right now offshore, I mean, dude, they're bull sharks and they're 300-400 pounds all day. All day.
Yeah.
And they're eating kingfish whole. And I'm telling you, I do all I can by holding the spool, pointing at the fish, and rearing back on the rod. It does probably
break it.
It's probably 40 pounds of pressure for me to break it.
Well, Leon, you know, during kingfish tournaments, you know, Jack comes up in your spread, right?
Yep.
And you're like, Jack, you know, and you tighten it down.
You can't break it.
I
straighten hooks out before I break line.
Yep. Yep, yep. So, I mean, once we fought that fish for 15 minutes, I mean, I locked down on it. I locked down on it. And we caught that fish. Sure did, in about 30 minutes with that.
I just hate doing that. I mean, I wish they wouldn't eat those because your spool takes a whooping on that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you usually end up bending everything, the spool on your rod. The reel's usually shot if you catch one on there.
Oh, it's not shot.
Well, your drags are not as good of condition.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, drags are gone.
Yeah.
I don't mean
to. Yeah, your drags are just taking a beating.
No, I know. Because you got to. You got to lock down.
Yeah, you do.
You got to tell them, you know, to lay the thumb across the foregrip for that extra little bit. But as soon as you feel that pressure, let go of your thumb. But because those kingfish reels aren't made to lift that kind of weight. You know what I'm saying? So
if you don't
add a little bit of extra pressure. And not only that, you can't stop. I mean, once you get that fish turned, you got to keep working them. You stall out, and you trying to take yourself a break, and he gets his head back down, it's over for another half an hour.
Yeah, I feel for people, Leon, because I'll just watch the rod's bent, you know, and the fish is straight down, and they're just holding it. And I walk up there, and I gently say, look,
you got to work him.
If you're going to stand here, he's going to stay there.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be a stalemate forever. I said, now,
this is actually the time you work him.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I said, here's what we're going to do. And this is a tip for you, Leon. Whenever that fish gets that way, you tell your angler, hang on, and tell him to keep the pressure on him and put that boat in reverse as hard as you can go. And it'll change the angle on that fish. It'll change his head angle, and he'll plane up. And then it gives the angler a break.
Then you catch back up to him again, and you get some more line back on the reel.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly what we do.
That's a good idea. That's a good point there, Chip. I mean, Kevin.
Yep. If you'll just tell him to hang on. And
especially with big jacks, when they get down there and they get that sideways action and stuff like that, and we call it down and dirty. Well, if the angler has not the ability to lift, if you do exactly what Kevin said, hold the spool, at not to where you break them off, but hold the spool and just put it in reverse and start backing up real fast. Believe it or not, you'll watch how that line will change. Or if you make a roundabout move around the fish and catch in from a different angle, it'll do the same thing.
Yeah, but you can't let him go down their head
you
first.
You can't go down, no.
Leon, thanks, buddy. We got to take a break. Good talking to you.
All right, Kevin, Scott, y'all have a great evening.
You coming down tomorrow?
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
That's a good question, too. Oh, you know he's going to be there tomorrow sometime.
I'm just telling you. I'm getting this paycheck. I'm tired of you always cashing one.
641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grove Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. We come back and talk to Captain Chip Wingo. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, which you can listen to Captain Kevin and myself every Thursday night from 8 to 9, which feels like 11 to 12 midnight for us charter captains that are still in the workings. Wintertime, we don't care because it gives us something to do. We're bored anyhow, but wow, this time of year, yeah, it's late in the, yeah, anyhow.
Yeah.
We're keeping Chip up.
Uh-huh, we are.
But we can let him listen because he probably wants to hear the weather forecast anyhow, because I know he's fishing next few days as well.
Yeah, so the marine forecast tonight, south winds 10 to 15. And you know what? They've said that the last two nights, and it hasn't blown that hard.
I think they're judging this around these little afternoon squall lines that are coming in, is what I'm thinking.
I totally agree. Tomorrow, wow, southeast 5 to 10, seas 2 to 3. It's going to be beautiful. Friday night, which is always key, south winds 5 to 10, mm-hmm. 2 to 3. Saturday, for the guys that are fishing the little kingfish tournament out of Comanche Cove, the kids tournament this weekend. Mm-hmm. Southwest 5 to 10, yep. Becoming southeast. Oh, my God. I mean, this beautiful forecast for that. And then Sunday, south winds 5 to 10, becoming southeast. So it's just a typical, you know, south winds in the morning and then southeast in the afternoon.
Yep.
And that is the forecast all the way through Tuesday as of right now. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm in.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm actually fishing Saturday.
Inshore or
offshore?
Offshore?
No inshore.
Well, I mean, it's August. It's not, you know what I mean?
It's slowing down.
Yeah,
you know?
It's slowing down. Yep.
You know, it's not, and that's the only reason. It's just, you know, in respect, I mean, if I can work Monday through Friday, I leave the weekend to the others so they can have their fun.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fine with that. It's just, you know, especially try inshore. Inshore definitely doesn't happen. Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day weekend,
yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
See you on about the 10th of September is when I start working weekends again.
What's up, Chip?
What's happening, guys?
You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing well. Had a great day on the water.
Looked like you had fun.
Hot. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it just still amazes me how many black drum are around.
I know. You know. And we were arguing about that back in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all whining about it. What the heck are they doing out here now in 86 degree water temperatures?
Well, I mean, look, Chip, they're blistering the Pompano.
Dude, they are.
At the inlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, too.
Yeah.
Al had
that's
like awesome. 8 of them today.
8 Pompano.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
No?
There
mean,
are some big old gaff tops in the intercoastal, though, too, Kevin.
Oh, buddy. You know, I seriously, Chip, I've caught some pretty big gaff tops. I caught one yesterday that, telling you, was pulling drag.
Have you ever eaten one, though? Supposedly, they're supposed to be phenomenal, and I would think those ocean-going ones like that.
No.
No.
Just ask
I'm sorry.
Them.
No.
I know.
But
just that slime
line,
up 20 feet off the line?
I
know how much money we're going through in fluorocarbon right now?
That was, he took the words right out of my mouth because people ask me if I've eaten barracuda, because I have heard from a lot of people that it tastes okay.
I just can't get by the smell to
clean
them.
Exactly. And I mean,
I've cleaned them before, and they are white meat as all get out. I mean, they're as white as white can be.
How do you? How would you even hold one of those gift tops?
I have no clue. Like I said, I had clients a couple weeks ago that kept five.
Really? They kept gaff tops?
Yeah, they kept, well, they kept three gaff tops and three or two hard heads or whatever they are.
Oh, God.
The guy said, I love catfish. I'm going to take you some. I go, I really, he's none other fine. I'm like, okay, I'm not cleaning them. You know, he's like, no, I got them. I was like, okay, you know. But his barracuda is good. I've eaten it. I had it, and it was awesome. I had it fried, and it was, I didn't know what it was when I tried it. And I was like, man, this is good. He goes, yeah, if you don't have to clean them, they're fine. You know, and I go, I get it because they stink.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just that smell alone. But, you know, it's crazy.
So, funny.
I got to go back to the catfish thing real quick. All right. So where did you put them?
Well, where did I put them? I put them in the side live well. I did not put them in with everything else.
So you gotta tell me now. So you pull up to the dock, you're looking around. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're looking around like, God, Leon better not be here.
Yep.
Mike from Palm Valley Outdoors better not be sticking. Okay, all right. Guys, go get your cooler. Bring it down to the boat.
Nothing to see here, folks.
That's right.
What'd you catch today? Oh, no, don't worry about it. Don't get close to the boat because I think one of my guys had COVID. Just get him back off the boat.
Well, it's funny because, I don't fish the same tides Leon does all the time. I like fishing high. I like fishing low. I like fishing in the morning. So, you know, it's easy when I'm like, oh, no problem. I'll just roll in there. And, you know, and then one of the kids in the bait shop's walking out and he kind of stops and turns as I'm using my crab tongs to pull them out and drop them in this guy's cooler. And he just kind of looks at me like a dog curiosity sideways stare. And I'm like, okay. And he asks later.
You'll wave the hand. Don't worry. There's nothing to see here.
But, what did
moving
you
on.
What'd you do? Tell him, Chip, at Whiskered Trout?
Yeah. There's something like that. They're a long-fin shark. I don't know. But, you know, it still amazes me how many of those big – I've been catching those big bonnet heads on almost every trip.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, you know, and it's that there's so much activity right now. The mullet this week, right, like you called it, Kevin, as soon as that storm passed by, the mullet south – or would be north of you guys – just went ballistic.
Yep.
I mean, all of a sudden, there's big schools of mullet everywhere. There's stuff blowing them up. You know, we caught a couple jacks this week that were pushing like 5.5, maybe 6 pounds.
Nice.
Today, Leon and I had like back-to-back trout, big trout, right next to each other. Well, about 25 yards away from each other in deep water. And the water was dirty. You know, it's got that stain right now from the rain. But there's big trout around right now. It's crazy. You know, and it's... Of course, I'm throwing fish fights. I talk about it every week, but I mean, it's like I'm going through those things like Scotty goes through live shrimp.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, but
20 dozen today.
Yeah. Wow.
Jeez.
But, that's crazy. So, but I mean, the bite's good. If you want to go catch fish right now, if you want to bend the rod and take home table fare, not necessarily redfish, there are redfish to be caught, but black drum, flounder. You know, you're catching decent trout.
Give me black drum all day.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather eat black drum.
A 15, 17 inch black drum? Okay, yeah. I got to ask a question, both of you.
Mm.
You catch a gaff top sale.
Mm-hmm.
Do you A, wipe the leader off and reuse it? Or B, cut it, throw it in the trash bag, and let's do this all over again?
No, I wipe it off.
Do you?
Yep.
I smack it.
So you're an A-er.
Yeah, I'm an A-er.
I'm a B-er.
Yeah, no.
I'm done with it.
It doesn't bother me that much. But I will tell you, them jokers yesterday.
It's snotty, dude. It's some snot trying to get
off
of there.
So honestly, I started at the hook and pushed it all the way up to my tie.
Yep.
You know, so now it's a big ball. Yeah, it's like a big old snot ball.
Yeah, it's like when the jellyfish get bad and we're trolling on our downrigger side or whatever.
So it's about as big as a marble. And then I dip that in the water with everything in the water and get it off. Yeah. I mean, but it's nasty. I mean, it's really, dude, there were some world record marbles yesterday. I'm not kidding you, man.
I was going to say ping pong balls, hell with a marble.
I mean, I look back there at one point in time, I thought it was a sailfish, and it was a damn gaff top.
Really? And he had his fin out of the water and just followed right along with it?
Yeah. I saw
really?
I saw my pokey going crazy. I went, well, look, and I see this sail. I'm like, what the hell is that? It's a gaff top, dude. And
I mean, I've never caught one.
Hammered it. I mean, kaboosh.
Really put drag
well,
out and everything?
They've got a huge mouth. They've got the biggest mouth. They're crazy.
They have a huge mouth. Yes.
Yeah. And they fight hard. I mean, they're, you know, inshore, if you get a big one, they're a fun fight until all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know what that is.
But Chip, I got to ask you and Scott this. Okay, I do. Because we had caught a smaller one earlier. A guy had caught it.
Wait a minute. How small? What are we talking? What is the size range of these puppies?
3 pounds. He caught a smaller one, about 3 pounds.
Okay.
Okay.
On a pokey on a tarpon rod.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So now I look up and I see my pokey getting nervous, and I see the sail come up right, and it's so. Do you hook him and hand the rod off, or are you just like no, I got this, guys?
No, I hand it off.
I don't know. That's a tough one to answer right there.
Yeah. I just didn't want to insult the guy.
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of like that's like catching a toadfish on the jetties no damn good and well after you pulled him out of the rocks. Go, here, reel this one in for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that.
I fought that one.
Did you get him off the hook?
Huh?
Did you take him off the hook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
you know what? And
here's
the other thing. Gaff tops are easy to grab.
That's true. They're not the mud cats that are so damn slimy and all that.
Well, and their dorsal fins and everything are really long.
Yeah,
so you can
get a good handful.
You know, honestly, I mean, I'm not into grabbing catfish. I'm not, but they're way more docile than those mud cats.
Yeah, because they just roll and flip and do all kinds of junk.
Chip, we got to run, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks, Chip.
Yeah, man.
All right.
641-1010, 641-1010. One more segment to go right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Go ahead and give us a call. Be right back.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
That might be the first. Little Elvis?
Yeah.
Good job, country. I like that. It kind of woke me up. You know what I mean? That's good stuff.
You were a catfish.
Speaking of hound dogs, typical dog days of summer.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this. I know it's been hot at Comanche Cove, and I know it's been hot inshore. It's been beautiful offshore, man.
I know. I'm excited.
I mean, no joke, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The morning times, little west wind. There hadn't been hardly any doldrums. And then southeast picks up to about 10, 12 miles an hour. And whenever that happens, it's just, I swear to you, it's like AC.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my God, that feels good.
I agree.
And it's so comfortable to fish in because,
mm-hmm.
and today, those fish just didn't really want to bite until the southeast sea breeze picked up. I mean, they just kind of lingered, you know?
And about 10:30-ish or so that they decided.
Yep. As soon as you start seeing a ripple on the water, and it kind of worked out for me because the guys that were tarpon fishing kind of bailed.
Yeah, because they figured, everybody figures tarpon fishing is a first light scenario.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not that hard into it as you are.
Right.
But, I mean, I think there's a lot of it at nighttime that we miss out at.
Oh, there's no question.
We have good friends of ours that fish at nighttime underneath the two bridges.
Yep.
And tell us that. Leon used to do it. Get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'd run his chartel six.
Yeah, he didn't do that anymore. Now he's got a girlfriend.
He's got a girlfriend now. Yeah. And well, I'm sure to hear a text about that one. Anyhow, it's nice out.
And
you know when he sucks that bait in because you just can hear a big thump.
But the forecast is the 80s for the rest of the week.
Uh-huh.
You know, damn. Mm-hmm. You gotta love that for August.
Yeah,
man.
I think today or tomorrow is gonna be our last day in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. It, as a matter of fact, it was today. So they're
actually
calling
it was
for
today.
80s.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, for August,
mm-hmm.
dude, we fished plenty of days out there where it's 100.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're
it's,
comfortable.
It's brutal. Brutal. I mean, it was like today, yesterday, and today. It was just, I mean, around 10:30 when you get that little tiny southeast sea breeze, man. It's like, oh, well, man.
I'm going to do something different than you. I'm going to go offshore tomorrow.
Yep.
I want to see if what the water looks like. If it's anything like it was last Friday, it was the last day that we all basically kind of got out there. It was cobalt blue. There was flying fish everywhere. Our good friend Captain Rob Bennett caught a sailfish right next to me.
Yep.
So I really, really want to go and kind of spend some time not really worrying about. I mean, the kingfish bites will come when they come, but pull around in the dirt a little bit more.
Right.
What we call away from the reef. And if conditions allow me to. I mean, meaning if I see it. If I see clean water, if I see the flyers again and all that. That day, though, last Friday, I got on the radio on our way out there, and I went, dude, if none of us catch a sailfish out here today, it'll... And damn, 15 minutes later, Rob hooks up.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Gorgeous fish. Big fish. That's my game plan.
Yesterday, on the high tide, coming back down the beach, looking out to the east, it looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could see that break, mm-hmm. and it looked really, really nice. Really nice. I didn't go out there to see how clear it was. And neighbor Joe.
Yep.
He fished, you know, today offshore. We didn't ask him.
Yeah, we didn't say what the water was. Yep. We didn't ask him that.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Folks, thanks for joining us here.
Yes.
On the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. And don't forget, join us Saturday morning, 7 to 10, for the Nimnik Outdoor Show. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.
See ya.